Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Thank you for tuning in to Russell Road Church. I'm Pastor Fred here at Russell Road Church. All right, we've been talking about self-control. Oh boy. It's all good. That's what we have to keep reminding ourselves, right? It's all good. Everything we're going through may not look good, may not smell good, may not feel good, but it is working for good, right? To those who love God and are called according to His purpose. You know, last night I came in here, and next door there, they redid their parking lot in the road, you know, at the apartments. And so all those people parked over here. So we had a lot of their cars here when I came in to do the service last night. And there was a big truck, very big old truck, parked right in the front. And on the windshield, had big red letters, big blocked letters. F your feelings. Yeah, spelled out. And I thought, boy, I need to get that guy to get that out of here. But no. You know what the Holy Spirit showed me? He's hurting. You see that? That guy's hurting. He's been hurt. His feelings are hurt. That's what people see when he's driving down the road. F your feelings. Big red letters. You'll see it. It's probably, you know, you see it out there. Not out here, but, you know, somewhere. Maybe, I hope it's out here. We'll get him saved, right? See, our feelings, right, are indicators, not dictators. See, when you have that type of attitude, they become dictators. They're dictating to you the way life is. And you think everybody's that way. See that? When really they're not. And we're growing and we begin to understand and we're maturing. And that's what we've been talking about. Self-control. Reigning in life. That's what we're talking about. And you have been called to reign in life. The word reign means to control. You're supposed to be controlling in life, not other people. Did you hear me? Not other people. You. You're supposed to be controlling your actions, your responses. You see that? Your finances, in your relationships, controlling you so they can be healthy. Making sense? When you're connected with God, when you're connected with God, He's going to help you in your self-control. See, self-control and reigning in life is a manifestation of you being connected with God, having a relationship with God. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to help people understand that maturing and growing is it's the way of life. When you get born again, the next best thing for you to do is start renewing your mind. Renew your mind to the Word of God. That's it. And if you're not doing that, you'll be miserable because you'll be ignorant. And the Bible says that the enemy will get in our lives through our ignorance. And when we're ignorant of his devices, then he can get in and mess with us. Amen? But when we understand, you don't have nothing. You see that? Because you're a child of God and God has his plan and purpose for your life. And when we understand this, it starts to change the way we see things. So, all right. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So we've studied all these different fruit. Remember, the fruit is outcome. You can't produce these. You can't produce joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness in your own strength. Those are only produced out of the agape love of God by the Holy Spirit. So we need the Holy Spirit. If you're not born again, those don't belong to you. That's why the born-again piece is important. You have to become a Christian and get saved and begin to walk with God, and then this becomes yours. So this is the idea. We've been talking about self-control. And like I said, when you understand self-control, it shows up in your finances. It'll show up in your relationships. It'll show up in every area of your life. But it takes time. And I'm going to tell you something. I can't be any more sincere. We are living in a time where we need to grow and mature. Because everything's falling apart out there. You talk about a $2 suitcase, it's falling apart everywhere. The job market is unstable. Our economy is unstable. People are unstable. Everything is unstable. Our government is unstable. Everything is unstable. And God says in Isaiah 33:6, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of your salvation. We need God's wisdom today. And the only way you can get God's wisdom is from His Holy Spirit. You can't get it, and from His Word. You can't get it anywhere else. We're not talking about man's wisdom, right? Conventional wisdom. We're talking about God's wisdom. And that's what we need in this hour that we're living in. And folks, He's giving it out if you want it. But you see, you are a free moral agent. You can make choices. And here's the thing. God will never stop you from making a choice. You make your own choices. See, He's not going to say, oh, no, don't you do that. Nope. He's going to say, okay, you go ahead. You'll make a choice. But you're responsible. See? That's why He's not going to force you to love Him. He doesn't want you to love Him because of what He can do for you. He wants you to love Him because you value Him and you worship Him. You see that? And so now when you really love Him, you'll start making choices out of that relationship with Him. And then you start sowing seeds in your life that start manifesting fruit that's going to be helpful for you and your family and your people around you. Are we making sense? So we've been talking about self-control. If you want to change your life for the better, the present must be disturbed. Amen? That's huge. Now, self-control. Okay. So, we're talking about reigning in life. Go to Romans 5:17 real quick. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Now think about that. So he's saying here that through this gift of righteousness, we can reign in life. And that's what I'm trying to help you see. This is what where the church has been ignorant and ignoring maturity. We're not in a day to stay immature, serious, and elementary in the things of God. We're going to have to grow and mature in the things of God so we can be all we need to be for our children, our grandchildren, the people we love, the people in the church, so we can be the church. Reign is control, and it's never other people. You hear me? You were never created to control other people. Some of you have tried once or twice, and you found out it doesn't work. Some of you are still trying, and you still aren't getting it. But it doesn't work. You can't control others. There's three things you can't change. You hear me? other people, your sex. You can't change your sex. If you're born a man and you look in the mirror and you got one, you're a man. You can't change that. You can't become a woman. I'm just helping you out. You can't change that. So when you try to change that, the Bible calls it strange and alien. Am I making sense? And no woman can become a man. No man is going to have a baby, right? And no woman is going to put a seed from her seed into another woman and produce a man. That's not going to happen, or produce a child. Are we making sense? So you can't change other people, you can't change your sex, and you can't change God's will. God's will remains the same. And that's why it's so healthy and so valuable. Because when you line up with it, you've got stability and you've got security. You hear me? Now, so we need God's wisdom, right? So, let's think about this. Last week I shared this little, I read this book while I was on vacation, and the name of the author is William McRaven. William McRaven. And he was a Navy SEAL instructor and admiral. So pay attention. I'm reading this book, and he's talking about training and teaching these young men how to become a Navy SEAL. And at the beginning of the course, they have to go through what's called Hell Week. They call it Hell Week. That's what they call it. And so he's got all these men, and you know, a Navy SEAL, when they become a Navy SEAL, they are been trained and certified in assisting and helping rescue and save people from life and death situations. You see that? I mean, not only in military and army and combat, but if somebody's out in the ocean and they get sink and they're out there by themselves, Navy SEAL will come help rescue them. Am I making sense? Save them. So now, here's what happened. He's got all these men training to be a Navy SEAL in this place called the Tijuana Mud Flats between San Diego and Mexico. So he's training them, and this is Hell Week, and this is designed to remove the weak people so they quit early on and they don't become a Navy SEAL, because they don't want people who want to give up. They don't want people who quit to become a Navy SEAL, because you can't quit on somebody out there in a life and death situation. You see that? This is to get rid of the weak people. So they go through Hell Week. So now they're in the mud. They're in this mud, in the mud flat, up to their neck. And they haven't eaten. And they've been doing calisthenics, and they've been swimming, and they've been doing all this extreme exercise and being challenged. And one of the instructors says, and it's 3:00 in the morning. Well, I've got some coffee and chicken soup and the fire going over there. And if you want to help yourself to some coffee and chicken soup by the fire, it's your choice. So one of them says, I'm done with this. First week in Hell Week. You know, it's too much. He says, I'm done. So he starts walking out of the mud and just getting out. And while he's getting out, another one in the mud starts singing. So he starts singing. And while he's singing, he hears him singing, the one who got out. So he says, no, I'm going back. So while he's singing, he walks back into the mud. So now they're all in the mud up to their neck singing. And they all finished the course and became Navy SEALs. I said, that's the church. That's a depiction of the church. You see this? We come here, we sing. We come in here and we're up to our necks in mud, difficult problems we're going through, and we sing. You see that? And when we come here and sing together, we're going to be able to rescue others who are in difficult situations. in life and death situations so they can be saved in the future. Are you hearing me? That's the church. That's the church. And when we want to quit, we're giving up on people in the future. Could be your grandchildren. Could be your children. Could be people you work with. Could be people in the church. Could be your neighbor. You give up when you quit. Am I making sense? It's no time to give up and quit. God is raising a church. He's building a church that the gates of hell will not prevail against. See, this is what we got to understand. We got to understand this. God is building you so you can help others in the future. Are you with me? And what you're going through now is really just temporary. It's temporary. We glory in tribulations. We glory in trouble. Trouble, right? What's glory? God originated and intended. We glory in the trouble. And then what's it say? We glory in tribulations, and tribulations produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God is being poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You see, God wants his love in every area of your life, in your relationships, in your finances, in your own personal development. He wants his love in every area of your life. And that's what he's doing. That's why we can't quit on development and maturity and growing in our faith. Am I making sense? Because we're the church and he's building his church. I love that picture. So when we will come together and keep singing, there is nothing we can't handle in this life. I've been through a few things. How about you? And I'll tell you what, I've been through so much. I look back on all I've been through, and I just see how good God is. God has been good to me. Are you with me? But you see, when we look back over our lives and see how good God is, he becomes credible. When he's credible, now you are confident towards him and trusting him for the future. You see that? When you understand that, you're not going to quit. You're going to stay dependent on him, and that's what he wants. He wants you and I to be dependent on him. All right. Here's one of the things I'm trying to help us see is this is what I see as a problem as to why people give up and quit. I had more calls this week than I've ever had in 1 week in ministry of people struggling, going through things. Does this make sense? But I'm going to tell you something. I still got my joy. I still got my peace. So you keep calling. It's okay. I'm just letting you know. I've been through too much. And when you know who you are, you see that? When you know who you are, nothing can take your joy and nothing can take your peace. Amen. You see that? But when you're ignorant of that, a lot of those things can come in and take your peace and take your joy. And this is one of the things I'm trying to help you see. You have been justified. And we're going to talk about that. Go with me to Romans 5:1 real quick. Now, pay attention to this. If you got a pen, you can write it down. God's word and his ways and desires are his wisdom. His wisdom is what we need. Or his wisdom that helps us live in such a way that fulfills our divine nature. See, we all have a divine nature. And when we get God's wisdom, it helps us to fulfill that nature and live in the life now. In all whatever we're going through, we get wisdom that comes from him, not from conventional wisdom. You see that? In 1 Corinthians 2:7, it says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for your and my glory." You see that? That's wisdom from God, and it's ordained. The word ordained means authority. Did you hear me? It's wisdom with authority. I'm going to tell you something. In the days ahead, you're going to need some authority. You know what authority is in prayer? Authority, you know what we do when we pray? We pray about things in prayer. But when you have authority, you pray to the things about your God. You tell the things about your God. Are you catching this? You start speaking to your things about your God, and now you have authority. They don't control you anymore. You're starting to walk in some control. Are you listening to me? Some reigning in life. Am I making sense? And that's what you've been ordained. That wisdom's ordained for you. It was done before you were even born. That's what we need to draw from. And that's what God is calling us to. As we come here and we hear God's word over our life, that wisdom is going out. And it's helping us to get to a better place in life. So we can let that redemption continue to take place in our hearts. And he's redeeming all those areas that aren't producing anything in our lives. Now listen, God's word and his ways and desires are the wisdom that help us live in such a way that fulfills our divine design nature. Joy is the fulfillment of knowing the God you were built to love. That's what joy is. I need to say that again. Joy is the fulfillment of knowing the God you were built to love. You see that? When you know that he's building your life and you know he's brought you through it, you have joy and nothing can take it because you're fulfilled and you're going to continue to build your life on his principles and his word and his ways. You're not going to let anybody get it from you. What's it say in Nehemiah 8:10? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of it and the strength of your salvation. When you get God's joy, you have the strength of your salvation. You see that? And it's going to work in the worst of times. You hear me? Now, here's what I'm trying to help you see today. This word justified is a word that people are ignorant of in the church. And this word justified means divine acquittal. Divine acquittal. I got into my theological books this week and I brought some of that here. Because this is sound theology. We need sound theological teaching and understanding. Am I making sense? The Bible says in 2 Timothy 4, there's coming a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. And he admonished Timothy. He said, preach the word in season and out of season. For there's coming a time when they will not endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to fables. Fables are lies and myths that are made up. You see that? I don't want to have itching ears. I want the truth. Am I making sense? And we can't count on a lie and a myth to get us through anything because it won't. We need the truth. Are you with me? Now look, justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what? You have to know you're justified in order to have peace. When you don't have peace, it's because you lack understanding about your justification. This is how the enemy comes in. You know what? When you feel guilty, or you feel condemned, or you feel ashamed, those are all ignorance of your justification. You hearing me? You should never feel like I'm not worthy to go to church or I'm not good enough to go to church. That is a lie. Are you with me? That's so opposite of what the gospel is. When you feel like you're not good enough to go to church, you're believing a lie. Man, that's why we need to go to church. If you've been in a mess up to your you need to get to church, right? That's the place you want to be. You want to get to his presence. Because that's where you're going to discover the path of life, in his presence. Now look, the word justify is a judicial term, meaning to acquit and declare righteous. So in other words, when you became born again, the gavel came down and God says, this one's righteous. And now he sees you as righteous. Did you catch that? And just, he doesn't see any... He doesn't see any of your past sin, your present sin, or even your future sin. Your past, present, future sins have been exonerated. This is solid theology. I'm not talking about a greasy grace, and I'm not talking about go live life the way you want to because you're... No, I'm talking about you are now in a state of being that you weren't one in before you were born again. When you're born again, now you're in a state. This is what the word righteousness means, it means to be in a right state. To be in a right state. I'm not talking about Ohio. I'm talking about state. You hear me? To be in a right state. You know what the word right means? The word right comes from, this is theology, the word right comes from the word straight. Straight. So when I'm righteous, I'm right, and I'm in a right state, and I'm straight. You're straight with God. God sees you as being straight. You hear me? Now think about this. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture has been inspired by God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped, prepared for every good work. Now pay attention. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction. You know what the word correction means? Straight. So when you come here and you hear God's word spoken over you, it's calling you to be straight with him. You hear me? Correction. You hear the, you hearing that? Correction. We don't like to be corrected. When we're corrected, we don't like it at times. But we need to embrace that. And let God's word and the Holy Spirit correct us, and then we'll line up and we will be equipped for everything we have to face in this life. Now listen to me. To be justified is to pronounce sentence of acceptance. It's an illustration of the guilty one that stands before God, the righteous judge. God is the only judge. People that judge you, they're... let that go. Just, you know, let them go judge their own self, right? If they're trying to judge you, that's too bad. You hear me? You need to understand, when people judge you, that's their problem. They're only judging you about something that they need to work on in their life. We looked at that, right? And then condemnation comes on them. They bring it on themselves when they judge you. So that's why don't get all bent out of shape when people are trying to judge you. And see, that's why we don't want to judge people that come in here. We want to embrace them. I don't care what you look like, smell like. You're welcome in this church. Am I making sense? You're going to make it in this church. If you come in here and get in the mud, we're going to sing together, and God is going to develop you, and we're going to be a church that overcomes. Amen? You can come in here, and you can make it in this life. And you can make it. You can become everything God has created you to be. And have influence on your children and your crowd. I'm hanging out with my son and my grandson tomorrow. I'm going flying on a plane, and we're just going to have a ball. Are you with me? Some people can't even get time with their grandson and their son. I know people that their kids don't want to be around them. When you got you some love, your kids want to be around you. And you got you some understanding. Am I making sense? Look at this. Justification or righteousness means the state of acceptance into which one enters by faith. The acceptance is a free gift of God made available through Christ. It is a state of acceptance in which the believer stands, regardless of his sinful past or present. He has a complete and secure new position. Listen, a new position in relation to God. Only the truth and truthfulness
can save us. You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.